How are y'all doing today? Good. I need a volunteer. Go ahead, Daniel. Lead us, please. Lord, I have your word and I know it's true. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do all that it says I can do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We just thank you for your word, God. So, just a quick recap. Good? Move the mic a little closer. Okay. All right. Just a quick recap. Unfortunately, the previous sermon wasn't recorded, but I will do a recap anyway. We talked about listening, right? Everybody was here? Right? You weren't here? I'm sorry. You will have to just pick up where everybody else is. Maybe you can get the cliff notes from Dan or Jess. I know she took good notes last week, right? So we talked about listening, right? And we talked about the importance of listening. We talked about how that impact has, what kind of impact that has on our walk, right? And maybe we didn't realize certain things that we didn't listen to or how we listened, but the reality of listening and what that listening can do is extreme in the behaviors and the way we actually live our lives before everybody else, right? Reveal the importance of it, and we revealed that if we're not listening, and we're not good listeners, we're actually hardening our hearts, right? Do you remember that? And we also found out that our listening is directly tied to whether or not we are his sheep, right? Okay. These are some key factors, but when we're going to pick up right where we left off, all right, with John, in that same exact scripture, John 10, verses 25 through 29. And he says, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. This is New King James Version. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. So we read that last week, and we remember that listening, and again, us being sheep, or being called his sheep, is directly tied to the fact of whether or not we listen. But it's not just our listening. Because he says clearly, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. It's a process. We have to hear, we have to listen, but it's not just there. We don't just stop at our listening. We also are very much supposed to obey. So the title of today's sermon is, I Will Obey. And I want everybody to say that with me. I will obey. We will listen, we will obey. That is all we need to do. And if we're not willing to do that, you're going to have a lot of problems in your walk. That's all there is to it. So the first thing we're commanded to do is to obey the shepherd. The shepherd calls us, he speaks to us, he gives us all these wonderful and great things. But then he has also stated that they would follow him. So once we hear, we have to follow. And we talked about this last week too. We talked about that parental unit, right? We talked about the parents who have, you know, kids, and they give instruction to their children. And the expectation of those parents is that when they give that instruction to their children, they do what? They obey. They follow along. Whatever it is, they may not do it 100% right. We all know that, right? I was one of those kids. Clean up your room. Okay, I cleaned up my room. Where was all the stuff? In the closet. You opened the closet, it was all back on the floor again. It was amazing. But the room was clean. May not have been done to the exact standard. That's where we have to get down to specifics, right? You tell your kids to clean up your room. Don't tell them to just clean up your room. Tell them to make sure they put every single thing back where they got it from, right? Because that's different. That's a better command, right? So in that same regard, when the shepherd speaks to us, his expectation of us is that we follow him, okay? And I want to give you guys a brief little introduction to this. This is the easiest form of obedience. If somebody says, follow me, does it get any easier than that? All you gotta do is what? What do you gotta do, Jen? Just follow. So if I say, Jen, I want you to follow me wherever I go today, do you think you could handle that? Yeah. Seems pretty simple, right? In your head, you just think about it, that's not that hard of a task, right? Just follow me. That's all you gotta do. It requires very little effort. And in most cases, the person you're following is doing all the work, so it doesn't require very much sacrifice either. All it requires you to be is in attendance. That's it. You just have to follow. This is the simplest form of obedience. And Christ demonstrated this with his disciples. Right? Turn with me to Mark, first chapter. Hands up when you're there. Doesn't take too long. Verses 16 through 20. We should probably know this very well. Jesus is walking through. And he walked by the Sea of Galilee. And he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. For they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. Their response. This is important. Jesus said, follow me. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. Now, hold on. Pause. Did they know where Jesus was going? Did they have any idea what he was about to do? No. But what did they know? They knew, hold on a second, that's the Lord, I know. I've heard about him. And he's calling me and telling me to follow him? Okay. Not that hard, right? Real simple. Moving on. He gone a little bit further. And there he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in a boat mending nets, right? And immediately he called to them. Same thing. Follow me. And what'd they do? They just stranded their father right in the boat. Boom. Sorry, pops, we're out. He told me to come. That's it. I'm not doing anything else. And they went after him. Obedience. It's simple, but it's actually not. See, the problem was, is back then, it was pretty simple. Because after all, the world was a lot simpler. You really only had one major thing in your life. You had your family. You had to take care of your family. You did a job. But for the most part, that was your job. Your family was your job. We have a lot more on our plates nowadays. We've overcomplicated things. We've made things way too much. You know, we have prizes and possessions and all kinds of great, wondrous things. But still, obedience or following is still a simple task. All you got to do is just leave all that stuff behind. How many people could just pack up and go? Pack up and go, right? Some people just move. No, 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 no. Hold on a second. I did not say you're going to take it with you. See, hold on. You will not need a U-Haul. You will need just the shoes that are on your feet. And I promise all will be okay. But the disciples gave us a perfect illustration. What did they leave? They left their jobs. They walked right away. That was their employment. They earned their living that way. Bye, pops. They just left their dad. See ya. Well, I don't know how long it'll be till I see you again. But guess what? You're going to leave your family behind. You're going to pass over and you're going to pass friends. They're not going to join you. They're not going to come with you. Why? That's the question. But it's more important that we obey. Because if not, well, we don't like the not. In James, some of us know this one as well. Chapter 4, verse 4. You really don't have to turn there. It says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity towards God? You got a choice to make today. See, your obedience is actually going to cause you to make a line in the sand, and you're going to have to determine today, because again, we remember that from last week, right? Today, if you hear, today, So you're going to hear the Lord call you out today and say, follow me. Guess what? That line is drawn in the sand. So today you're going to have to determine, are you going to immediately follow him? Because if you don't, delayed obedience is still what? Disobedience. So you're going to have to choose right then and there. Are you going to choose him, or are you going to choose all this stuff? Because that's what the world has to offer. Stuff. Just stuff. There's nothing good in it. And if we're going to hold on to it, that means that we're trying to befriend it. We're trying to please it. We're trying to hold on to the luxuries in the life that we think is worth its weight here in the world. But all we're getting is separation from God. That's all we get in return. It just says it right here. Friendship with the world, enmity towards God. So you can only be in one place. You're either with God or you're with the world. You're in one or two. So what we need to do right now is recognize one thing. First and foremost, God is a jealous God. He created us for his good pleasure, not for the world's. You're his. And he wants you all to himself. He does not want anything over him. No idol shall be before him. Amen? So we can agree to that, right? Okay, good. Making sure we're not all dead. Even though we mess up. How many of us have made mistakes? How many of us have fallen short, right? Okay. Just like the prodigal son, when he returned, what did the father do? Did he point out all of the things he had done wrong? Did he look at his past? Did he examine him? No. The important part was he made a decision. He decided, yes, that was the world, and I had it, and I tasted the good things it had to offer. But all that wasn't as important as being here with you. So guess what? Today, you get to make that decision. Every day, you get to make that decision. That's the question, is more or less, yes, today we can talk about it. Today we're going to bring out all the truth. We're going to reveal what God's word says about it. But are you going to take that and you're going to implement it, not just today, but you're going to implement it tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday? Skip hump day. Everything that God has to offer for us, this world can't even touch a candle to. There is nothing that this world has to offer that God can't go, I got better. If you think that you have a great relationship with your bride, and you think, oh man, I just love her, and she's so sweet to me, and she's so loving, and she takes care of me, and she gives me all these great and wonderful things, and she lets me watch the TV, God goes, but I can do better. He's better than anything. Anything that this world physically has to offer. So take your lovely wife that you have, and that she is great, and she is awesome, and she's wonderful. Yes, you are. But God's better. And I'm not afraid to say that. So let's get down to the basic brass tacks now. We discussed the obedience. We discussed the listening. We discussed what it is that God's expectation is. And this is all relative and important. But the bigger question here is why? Right? Because it's easy to say, okay, well, when God speaks to me and tells me, okay, Tony, I want you to do 20 push-ups in the middle of the church. What question are you going to ask? Cause I would ask the same question. Cause that's just kind of odd, God. I'm not gonna lie. That's kind of odd. So I may beg to ask that question. Why? Why? Why do I have to do this particular thing? And that is probably the most candid reason why we don't. Because we strictly have to ask that question. So turn with me, if you can, to Hebrews. Going to the 5th chapter. And this is, again, we're talking to Hebrews, okay? We're talking to those individuals who have been practicing Judaism, walking in Judaism, living this life, and then all of a sudden they have the revelation of Christ come and reveal wonderful and great things to him. And so they get saved and they get converted and it's great. But they struggle. They struggle immensely. So here we are. Verses 9. Having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Called by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. And I'm going to continue to read. For through, by this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes of only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, and that is to the, and that is those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We have a problem with the one word in this, and I've seen it. I've seen it over and over again, and there's one word, and we're going to get to it. But first and foremost, we have to recognize one thing. Our obedience is directly tied to what? What's it say? Not just that. Our eternal salvation. Boy, oh boy. Are you kidding? Wait a minute. Hold on a second. I thought salvation was a free gift that God gave to me. Oh, it is. And it's available to you every day. But your salvation, and we're going to really dig into what that's about today, is directly tied to your obedience. It says it here. The author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. It's to those who obey. That's who it's for. So let's take a look at that. The problem is we read that and we immediately get caught up with this is a conditional based statement. Does anybody know what a conditional statement is? I know my tech guy. Where's my tech guy? Ed. If this, then that. So you read this, and you may read this way. If you obey, then you are saved. Okay? But that's not necessarily what it is. It's actually a cause and effect statement. What I mean by that is that salvation actually comes through obedience, not because of it. Okay? I'll repeat that again. Salvation comes through our obedience, not because of it. It's not because you obey, okay? Because you might mess up. And if that's the case, then once you mess up, well, you're done. That's it. Game over. That's not how it works in the kingdom. The problem is with the word perfection. How many people despise that word? Some people, I've had arguments with people. Well, the Bible says you have to be perfect. Perfection in the scripture is a substitutional word for the word maturity. Maturity is a process. It is something that happens daily. But you are expected to mature. As you read, continuing on, what was the accusation against Hebrews? What were they accused of? They were still needing to be taught. They had been given it. They'd been educated. They'd been shown. They'd been trained. They'd been provided every other asset that they needed to go and do what they were commanded to do, yet they were still sitting there nursing on the milk. How many of us are still nursing on the milk? And if so, then you need to ask this question. Why aren't you obeying what God's commanded you to do? Because that's the only reason why you're still nursing on milk. Because the maturing process is not going to happen just because you're a good listener. The maturing process comes from, okay, I heard what you said, God, and I want to fulfill it in Jesus' name. See, that's maturity. And you want to know what real maturity is? The second you hear it, you don't even go and say, why? You go, yes, Lord. Because that's the next process. That's what perfection looks like. Now, am I going to do it perfect? Probably not, especially if it's the first time. But he's not looking for you to do it right the first time. Did the disciples do it right the first time? Not even close. They messed up a whole bunch. But they got better every single time they followed what God said. Every single time they went and did what God told them to do, it got better. To the point where they would just show up and the Holy Spirit would fall and people would speak in tongues. Was it because they did some kind of magic trick? No, because they did exactly what God told them to do. They showed up, they said what God said to say, and everything else he took care of. Maturity. But that's why listening is important. Because here's where we mess up. We don't pay attention to what God says. And some of us were really bad listeners. We go and God says, Pastor Mike, come here. Yes, Lord. What I want you to do is I got it, Lord. I got it. Thank you. Whoa. I didn't even give you what I want you to do. No. I know what you're going to say, God. I got it. I know exactly what you want me to do. But you didn't listen. You jumped the gun. And God's just sitting there going, oh, I love you. Your heart's good. Heart's in the right place. But I'll wait till you scuff your knees and I'll dust you off and I'll say, you jumped the gun, son. This is a process. And again, maturity is a process. But what I want to do is I want to give you guys a little illustration. And I was going to have Ed put it up on the projector, but maybe I'll have him put it up at the end. If you turn to Ephesians, and this is just something God just revealed to me. Ephesians 2, verse 8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Okay? So right now we have a scripture that clearly illustrates that our faith and our salvation are equal. Okay? So we just put that out there. So just faith equals salvation. Just keep that in your mind. As we've learned from last week and into this week, hearing first, right? And we know the old scripture, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Okay, so by hearing, I'm increasing my faith, but we understand today, hopefully we've learned, that it's not just hearing that is required. You can hear all day long, but your faith will not grow. Your faith will only increase when you take what you hear and obey it. Right. See, it's not a one-sided coin. It's two. You have to do the other part. You have to obey that which you have heard. So therefore, hearing is greater than obedience, but obedience is greater than what?
Sacrifice.
So you got to go all the way through the process. You have to hear so that you can clearly obey what it is that God wants to say. And when you fulfill that obedience, that maturing process is really increasing your faith. Which allows you to do what? Greater things. So guess what? You're only going to get to go and do greater things when you hear what God's saying and do what he told you to do. And once you do that, you're going to go, oh, look at that. I did that, God. Yes, you did. Now I want you to go do this. All right. Awesome. And then you're going to get excited because you're going to go and see, watch what happens. And it's going to be even bigger than the last one. You're going to go, oh, this is really fun. I like doing this. Boom. Saved in Jesus' name. Boom. Saved in Jesus' name. And everybody's going to just sit there and go, what's going on with him? What happened? He was like nothing yesterday. He was like just sitting there going like this. Scriptures. And now all of a sudden he's on fire. Why? How did he get lit on fire? He got lit on fire because his faith had expanded. His faith grew. And in turn, his salvation grew. Now, here's the key. Salvation isn't for you. It's not yours. It's his. He gave it to you, but it's not just for you. He died so that the whole world can get saved, not just for you. And I know that people don't like hearing that. They like my me and Jesus thing. They love it. Because me and Jesus, we're like comrades. We party. We have a good time. The reality is that we have to step out of our comfort zones. And I know we hear that a lot. We hear that all the time, coming from pastors and preachers, good teachers, whatever. But the truth of that is so immense, it's beyond our cognitive thought. We don't really understand how comfortable we've become. Matthew 28. And the last two here. And this is one of my favorites. It's not my all-time favorite, but it's one of my favorites. Last two scriptures. I was going to throw it out and see if somebody just knew it off the top of their head, but I figured with two pastors sitting in the congregation, it was a little unfair. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. Amen. This scripture, two scriptures, pardon, but these two passages right here are the greatest command that God's ever going to give to any single one of you. Right. Ever. And guess what? It isn't a you and Jesus thing. Because if you and Jesus can do this, well done, sir. Well done indeed. You are way greater than anything I could ever imagine. You have magic speed and teleportation abilities, and you must have money going out the wazoo to take like Lear jets and travel and all kinds of stuff, because nations is not just here. Nations is everybody. That's the whole world. That's a global thing. So this is a global mission. But the key word is, of course, the very first word. He had commands us to go. So let's take one moment and just focus on these wonderful two letters. You can't do that from the wonderful seat recliner of your house. That's not going. That's staying. Staying is disobedient to that scripture. He didn't tell you to stay. He told you to go. So you have to go. Don't go now. I just realized that I was kind of like setting that up. The point of what this command is that we have a greater job to do than just what is right in our four walls. It's very easy for anybody, especially anybody who just knows even the smallest amount about their salvation. Okay, I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now what? Well, start with the basics. What's the basics? Well, first you should read. You should learn what that salvation means to you. What does it mean to you? It's different for everybody. You ask any single person in here why they got saved, I guarantee you no two will match. Guaranteed. No two will match. Why is that important? Well, because us got saved for the same reason, then we wouldn't be really useful to the world now, would we? Because what makes us effective as a whole, a group, a unit, one whole body, Christ body in the world, is the fact that we're also different. Because the world is different. So we learned already that we follow. We get that starting point. We follow Jesus. We watch Jesus. We learn what Jesus did. We observe him. We see all the things that he did, right? Okay? We can probably all name at least two or three miracles that Jesus did with his time with the disciples, right? Okay. Now, can we do those same things? In whose name? With the authority that Jesus has given us, right? So we already know power is what? The ability to wage war, right? Authority is the right to do so. Okay? So we have both in Christ. So There's no reason why everything that Jesus illustrated with the disciples that we ourselves cannot go and do, because he's given us that same power and authority that he gave to them. Amen? All right, so we got it. We got that part down. We followed him. We learned. We observed. We seen what he's shown. We're students. But just like with Hebrews, after a while, after that time period, there is an expectation, and anybody can anybody who's going to school knows this. After you've done all this studying and all these homework assignments, what do you got at the end? You got a test, right? And what does that test evaluate? Did you learn it or not? And if you pass that test, then guess what you do? You go on. Right? That's the goal. You want to get out of school eventually, right? You don't want to be there forever. Nobody wants to be a forever student. Trust me, it gets expensive, especially when you get out of high school. It gets really expensive. You don't want to be a student forever. You will be in the poorhouse forever. So the point is, eventually you have to get past the student phase of your life. You have to grow past it. Yes, that doesn't mean you don't continue to be a student of his word. That's not what I'm saying. But there's a different type of person. There's a person that just sits there and wants to keep learning and keep learning and keep learning because they think that they need to be super duper prepared before they go out into the world. Versus the person that goes, okay, so I learned how to witness to somebody. All right, I'm going to go do that now. See, because you learned it so that you can do it. You didn't learn it just so you can know how to do it. You learned it so you can do it. You go to school to learn a trade. You don't learn the trade just so you know how to do the trade. You learn the trade so you can go do the trade. So the point of it is that when you go ahead and get past that phase, now your salvation is ready to work for you. Now your salvation is coming to that maturity, that phase of maturity where you actually recognize, it's not about me, God. It's about you. And it's about every single person that you want to touch in the world. Salvation is protection. It is a protection mechanism. See, what salvation does is it protects me when I go out into the world from being corrupted by that corruptible source. See, what am I? Once I accept Christ in my life, I become a beacon of what? Light. But that light doesn't sit good just fellowshipping with light. It's great, but you gotta go light up the dark places, am I right? Okay? You gotta go out into the darker places and be that light into the darker world. Well, you're only gonna be protected or stayed lit as long as you have that salvation. And the strength of that salvation increases the strength of that light. It's the armor of light. Well, when you turn around and you think about all of that coming together, it's not a get out of hell free card. That's not what salvation is. It is strictly your protection mechanism so that you can go do battle with the kingdom of darkness. That's what it's for. That's what it's about. He provides it. He equips you with it so that you can go give it to somebody else so that they can be protected from all that filth and garbage that surrounds them. And then it catches. The reason why this protection is important is because what I am stating to you today is no different than anybody else in this building has preached. But one thing it is it's not what is being preached. It's radical. It is not what the other world teachings are providing for people today. They're preaching messages that want to keep you here. They want to keep you sheltered. They want to keep you locked in your cage. Happy times with you and Jesus. It's like Little House on the Prairie. Okay? Go isolate yourself on the mountaintops. Sing kumbaya to the Lord. That's not what salvation was made for. That's not what Jesus died on the cross for. That's just not it. Because if that's all he died for, then that was in vain. But he didn't die for that. He died for every single person here, and he would have died just for one of us. It wouldn't make a difference, but the point was he knew that that blood is contagious. And once it caught in one person's life, it would catch in another, and then another, and then another. That was the mission from the beginning. At the door. So nothing has changed. And that salvation is radical, and that's why we need it. Because radical doesn't fly out there. Radical challenges the world's teachings. Radical challenges the world's belief system. Radical is not going to stand up and accept whatever the world throws at us. Socialism, okay? It's not going to settle on homosexuality and all these wonderful things that the world says, well, we have to just sit there and accept. Did Jesus accept it? Then I'm not accepting it. His DNA, not mine. I didn't make the rules. He did. I obey. And what he says in his word is what I will obey. That's all there is to it. And that radical teaching is going to challenge every single thing the world wants to throw, because the world wants to be anti-Jesus Christ. The world doesn't accept him. The world doesn't want him. But what they want, and they don't realize it, is they want salvation. They just want it their way. They want it by their rules. They want it by their standard. They want it by their belief system. They all want to be saved. But my Bible says there's only one way to be saved. So we have to come to an agreement today. And I hope everybody can. That those days of sitting on the fence, hearing what God's saying, listening and, that's great, Lord. I love you, Lord. And then not following through are gone. Put it to death today. Put it to death today. Do not leave here holding on to the regrets and the woes and the guilt and the condemnation. That's not God. He's not condemning you. He just wants you off the fence. Be either hot or cold. Make up your mind, but don't stand in the middle anymore. There's no gray area in the kingdom of God. There just isn't. We have to listen, and then we have to follow through with that obedience. That's all there is to it. And it may seem really basic and plain and dry, but you want to know something? It's going to be the hardest thing you ever have to do in your life. Because he's not going to call you to do 20 push-ups in the middle of the church. He's going to call you to talk to that best friend that's an atheist and witness to him. That's not going to be easy. You would sit there and go, God, just give me the 20 push-ups. I'll do that now. Because that's going to be hard. But it's not hard. Because if you remember and read, observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. He's with you. He's there already. The angels are already praying and singing over him. So guess what? You got nothing to fear. Because he's already conquered death. He's conquered the grave. He's conquered over every sin. He's conquered over every law. He's conquered over every single thing that we could even fathom or imagine that this world wants to conjure up and create and say that this is better than Jesus. This is better than your God. This is greater than him. No, he's already done it all. It's done. It's written. Therefore, I have nothing else to say. Jesus loves you. And he wants you. He cares about you. He wants nothing better than to adorn you and bless you and cherish you and sing over you and dance over you. Why are we even like messing this up in our heads? Why are we fighting and contesting with the woes of this world that say otherwise? Why? It's real plain and simple. God says, I say, yes, Lord, and I do it. It's that simple. And yeah, it seems difficult when it comes to push comes to shove and you get that word that God's saying to you and it doesn't seem like it's going to be an easy trip. But let me tell you something. I'd rather obey that than not. Because I don't want to be like the world. I don't want to go back to the way I was. I don't want to be the filth and the muck that I came out of. That's what you go back to. You want to stay in disobedience, you end up like the rest of the world. You end up absorbed and consumed by it. And you throw your salvation away for something else. Is that worth it? Or is God better than it? That's the choice. We all fall short when it comes to obedience. But the question is, do we want to continue to live in a constant state of fluctuation? Or finally live for something constant, or in this case, someone. We were created for such a time as this. And yes, sometimes it's scary, believing that we're special. Some people have a struggle with believing that God created them just for this moment, just for this occasion. That he loves you, he cares for you, he adores you, he thinks you're precious, you're the apple of his eye. Some people struggle that such a great God would love such a worm like us. Right?
Yeah, he does.
But the truth is that you are special. And even more, that you have purpose. The world continues to function on its never-ending supply of deceit and corruption, but we as children of God do not. We have to recognize that today is the day of salvation, not just for those who don't know God, but for those who do, because it's his salvation. My question for you today is, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to step out? Are you going to listen? And then, secondly, are you going to obey? Because that's what this is about. It's not about anything else. There could be billions of other messages that are preached, but it boils down to this brass tacks. Did you hear what was said? And are you going to obey? That doesn't mean take my word for it. Don't just listen to what we say. Pastor comes up here every day and he'll tell you, I want you to be a Berean. You know what that means? I want you to read. Read for yourself. See what God's saying to you personally. Because what he's going to reveal to you, he may not reveal to somebody else. But he's always talking. He's always talking. The question now comes down to, are you going to listen? And then secondly, after you hear it, are you going to follow through and obey? Amen? Amen. How many of us are going to obey? Amen? All right. Everybody rise.
Look how obedient
you are. Amen. I love this obedience. This is great stuff. I'm not God, though, so it doesn't matter. This doesn't count. This is just a test. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We rejoice, God. We rejoice, God. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. You are awesome, God. You are mighty in this place today, God. Your word is great and powerful like a two-edged sword, God. Hallelujah, God. We thank you, God, that you use it, God, to discipline and to train us, God. We thank you, God, that you use it for your edification of your saints, God. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, God. We thank you for your word today, God. We thank you, God, that has found fertile soil today, God. We thank you, God, that you have enriched our lives, God, and showed us, God, that we are able, God, to hear your word and to obey it, God. There is no shame, God. There is no condemnation, God. There is simply just you and us, God. And you have called us out, God. You have chosen us. We are your chosen people, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation for a time like this, God, to go, God, and set the captives free, God, to baptize them in the name of the Lord, God. Hallelujah, God. So today, God, we will go. We will go out into the nations, God. We will go and we will preach the good news, God. We are tired, God, of sitting back and explaining to you as to why this didn't happen or why we can't or why we... No, the excuses end today, God. The excuses are done today, God. We are going to fulfill that great commission that you have given to us, God. Because you have called this church a beachhead, God. Streams is a beachhead, God. And a beachhead goes in first, God. We are the front lines, God. And if we're expecting other churches to unite and gather and join in this cause, God, then we have to set the example first, God. So, God, we will. Listen, God, we will obey, God. We hear clearly what it is you're saying to us, God, and we are going to fulfill that great commission. In Jesus' name, God, because you have provided it all already, God. You have done it all. There's nothing we have to do except for just follow your orders, God. So, Lord, as we gather in today, God, and we come in all in agreement, God, Lord, we lift up that banner of truth, God. We lift it to you, God. And as all of us come in agreement, God, and shout amen, God, we love you, God, today, God. We thank you, God, that we can carry this banner of truth out into the highways and the byways with us, God. We wear it upon our shoulders proudly, God. And we love you so much, God, that we will not cease until there is no more breath in our lungs, God. That is our command today, God, that we carry that torch and we light up this nation, God. We light up this town, God. We again stretch out, God, from Judea into Samaria and to the ends of the earth, God. We will not be satisfied until this work is completed. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.